host back on the Boss Man Show with a local entrepreneur, Curvy Betty Wines, LLC. We have the CEO here, Lauren, with me. Lauren, what is up? How are you doing today in the ATL?
Yes, I'm doing fine. Everything's good over here. I'm loving Atlanta as usual, and definitely loving wine and winemaking and all the different wines that I have out.
Yes. So tell me about this. How did you decide you want to become a winemaker and put wines out for us to enjoy and vibe in when we're either at a party or at a event or just like me, late night, leaving the Hawks game, want to give me some, give me the bed.
Right, exactly. Well, first, it actually started off as a hobby.
Okay.
It started off as a hobby, you know, something to do, something fun, you know, something to create, put my own name on, you know, put my own label on. And then I decided to make it a brand. And I saw that there was a market for it. And, you know, people would ask me, are you selling that? Are you selling that? I want some, you know? And I'm like, okay, well, let me start making a business out of it. And then I got a website made and then just took off from there, started doing, you know, shows and pop-up shops and different events, and wine tastings, and it's just skyrocketed from there. Especially here in Atlanta, there's a lot of opportunity, especially for Black entrepreneurs. So, you know, I was grateful for that. The support has been, you know, great from everybody. And, you know, people just want to, you know, talk to me about it, have me, you know, come do their events, come cater their events. I also do door-to-door sales. So I bring wine to your door if you are in the local area. And I do it for free. So, you know, I don't charge, you know, any, you know, type of shipping or delivery or anything like that. So just order the wines online and I'll bring it right to your door.
And also listeners out here who are in Alabama and North Carolina and Tennessee, can they get shipped to them if they mail it off of your website as well?
Yeah, they can get it shipped for sure. You know, for sure, I've done a couple of people in Washington, D.C., a couple of people in Tennessee actually have brought, and a couple of people in Canada. I actually have it listed in Canada as well. So, yeah, it's been pretty good. Oh, and Philadelphia. I can't forget my hometown.
Yes, awesome. So you can't forget Philadelphia, the Illadelphia up there. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I'll be there actually this weekend.
Oh, okay.
The Atlanta Hawks play up there against the Sixers.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, I gotta stay true to my roots. So
I don't blame you. I don't blame you one bit for being true to your roots. It's just cold up there, and you know. The ice on of the court up there, like the Wells Fargo, so I'm like, golly, can y'all take the ice cold up, please?
It is cold up there.
Yeah, I'm not good at cold weather, you know.
I definitely don't miss that weather.
I can't drive in snow. I can't do anything. I don't even have a real coat.
Well, I guess in Atlanta, you really don't need one, right?
Living here, I don't have a real coat.
You just need a jacket.
I have quarter zips and like these little mini jackets, sweatshirts, and hoodies. I don't have like a real down coat or a real thick coat. So when I go up north, I'm layered up with long johns, some compression pants. You gotta bundle up. Yeah, I don't have actually a coat to, you know, fight off the wind and the cold air that come off the river up there. I'm like, man, I can't do it. So right. I dread Boston. I dread New York. I love the cities, but I dread when it's cold. Philadelphia, Cleveland, Toronto, Chicago, Milwaukee, Minnesota.
Okay.
I dread those trips.
Yeah. Anything that's cold, I prefer the warmer weather. When I vacation, I like beach vacations. I want to be where the warm is.
See, the NBA is petty, though. The NBA will send us to Orlando, then to Chicago, or Miami to Philadelphia. Y'all petty. That's the pneumonia trip. It's 85 degrees in Miami. Let's go to Philadelphia on back to back. Really? 18 degrees was in Miami. 5 degrees in Miami. Pneumonia trip.
I know.
Orlando to Boston last year. What's wrong with y'all? It just happens that way. It just blows my mind. NBA must hate Atlanta Hawks or something. Send us to these. Send us to these freaking hot cities. So. They go on these cold south on the back of us. Like, what's wrong with you? Yes, I love it though. So for you, at what point in your mind you say to yourself, "Oh my God, I want to be an entrepreneur. I really want to do my own thing." I know for me, it was in college. I decided to say, "Hey, I want to be a radio host. Do it my way." So for you, you was a UGA, or when you was in your journey, what point did you kind of in your mind say, "Hey, I'm an entrepreneur. I have my own brand. I have my own ideas on how to make a successful life for myself and my family." So what was that point for you to say, trigger yourself to say, "Hey, this is what I want to do going forward"?
Yes. So when I was in college, when I was at UGA, I had three other roommates and I was crammed in the house with all three of them. So it was four of us in total. And then they all had their situation. So then everybody was coming over. It was like, I really don't want to live like this. And then also, I have such a creative mind.
Yes.
So it's not that I just wanted, you know, this to be a lucrative business. I also wanted to expand on my creativity as well. And I was originally, I went for my undergrad was child development, family relations. And then for UGA was educational law and policy. And, you know, as much as I love both of those things, I was like, it's not going to get me to where I want to go.
Yes.
And, you know, it's not going to allow me to, you know, expand in the way I want to expand.
Yes.
And, you know, that's exactly why I decided to, you know, build a brand out of this. I saw that there was a market for it. I saw that, you know, there were so many, you know, Black winemakers and, you know, supportive people. And, you know, I saw that there was definitely a world for, you know, business, small business, Black business, especially in Atlanta. And I was like, why not take advantage of your surroundings? Why not take advantage of the area that you're in and go full throttle with it? And I definitely did. And, you know, I took off from there. And there's no turning back for me. Like, I'm definitely going to continue with this, continue with my entrepreneurial spirit and just strive for the best.
Exactly. And that's what I love about what you're doing, because you did it your way. You've had to go through trial and error to figure out the right formulations of the wine. It's parallel to me, because I know in my early days of radio, I had to figure out how I want to do my show. Yeah. I had a panel, then I had a co-host, I had two co-hosts, and I'm like, nah, I need to be, I'll be by myself, because
I know how I want to do it.
Yes. I don't need to have to run something by you or have you ask a question I didn't want to ask somebody or say the wrong thing. So, yeah. So I know how it feels to have to come up with that idea. Like, for me, my degree's in business, not communications. Like, I didn't want to go to school for communications. My master's degree's in public administration, public policy. So that's why I can talk about politics, because I know what it's all about. I know the game being played.
Right.
But you got to
go with what you're interested in.
Yeah. And for me, talking to people, being positive, giving a platform. That's my niche in this world. Your niche is making wine. I make food. So we all can eat as Black business owners. We all can eat out here. We all have a role to play. But the problem, you know, is lowering, and I know it's too. It'd be some hater right out here.
Oh, yeah.
They see you doing something successful. They'd be like, how did that? Nah, let's find your niche. What's going to be your path? Do what me and you were doing. So I know how you get this the same way I get it as well.
Yeah. So like, as far as people hating or, you know, trying to kind of stop what you're doing. Well, a lot of people actually, it was funny. A lot of people saw what I was doing and then actually tried to come in the wine lane. And I was okay with that. At first, I was a little hesitant. I'm not going to lie. At first, I was a little hesitant. I'm like, why are they trying to do what I want to do? You know what I mean? But you got to think, there's room for all of us to eat. So instead of being upset about it or, you know, looking at it as an unfortunate thing, I actually started making it into a business move. I now offer wine consultations. So in the wine consultations, I teach people, you know, how to do wine. I show people how to do the formula. I show people how to do it, who to talk to, and how to create the labels, how to get the bottles, how to get the kits, how to get everything, all the equipment that you need. I show people how to do it, you know? And so it's beneficial to me at the same time, and it's beneficial to them. So, you know, the bumps and bruises that I had on the way, you know, the learning curves, the things that took a little bit of a long time for me to learn, I can now teach to other people.
Yes.
And, you know, I can cut their time in doing that.
Yes. And like you said, paying it forward, like was always a niche for somebody. Like somebody needs might be darker wines. Yours might be sweet wines and very variety wines. You know, there are lines of people like, in my business, like you might want to cover high school sports. I don't. You do that. Cover soccer. Yeah, that's your lane. You know, like, mm-hmm. like find your lane and run that lane, because like you said, we all can eat. And Atlanta's plentiful of Black people and non-Black people who want to involve in wine and or consume radio. It's like, there's room.
Yes. There's room for all of us. There's so much love and support out here, and you know, people that are willing to support small businesses. And, you know, I realize that it's all about you, how you market yourself, who you are to your audience, who you are to your customers. And, you know, that's really what matters. People can sometimes even do the same thing as you, but everybody has their own specific and different way of putting their business out there and of marketing their business and making it stand out different from the next business.
Exactly. And what I love about business now, because when I got started in radio, it wasn't Instagram popping or Twitter, or I don't know about Snapchat and TikTok. I'm not there in my journey yet. I don't know about all that. But Instagram, Facebook.
You gotta learn. TikTok is real popular these days.
Look, I have no idea how to work your Snapchat or TikTok. I am behind the times, but I have a LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and that's good, but you can market your business directly to people. You can be your own marketing director. Hey, with one click of a button, how many followers you have is out there. And with the internet, a Google search.
Right.
You have it. So that's why I say people all the time, hey, your life-changing ideas is a push for a button away. And that's how you market your business. And I see what you do on Instagram. And I see it. I see, yeah, she working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying, you know, going to different events, trying to stay relevant, try to stay involved. And, you know, sometimes it's hard in a sea full of people that are, you know, doing the same things and, you know, all working, we're all working hard, you know? So it's about, you know, standing out again, staying in your own lane and doing what, you know, God said your calling is, you know?
And how has COVID affected your business? For me, I couldn't travel on the road until just a month ago, early this month, to cover games, right? How did COVID affect your business being in the wine business, people not really working the way they used to, or some people at home now want to drink more because they're sick of being in the house? So how was it, how did it affect your business positively or negatively since this pandemic been going on?
Yes. Well, as far as the major events, which was, you know, my major kind of bread and butter, so like the bulk events, the bulk cases, that all kind of stopped. People weren't having weddings anymore. People weren't really celebrating big birthday parties. People weren't doing large events anymore. So that all kind of paused and all kind of stopped. But the door-to-door sales that I did increased dramatically. So, you know, people love the fact that I would drop the wine off at their house and they wouldn't have to see me. They wouldn't even have to come to the door. I would just, you know, drop it off in a little baggie and with a little note inside and a bottle opener as well, a complimentary bottle opener. So they were fine with that. And, you know, my door-to-door sales really did well. But as far as the event, unfortunately, I was, you know, not able to, you know, cater the events and things like that. Pop-up shops weren't really going on like that. And, you know, tastings, anything with gatherings, you know, because my business is all about gathering, you know, it's wine, family, gathering, friends, you know, networking. I was unable to do those things.
All that COVID did for me is made me do stuff on Zoom now. Now it's actually cool because I can see what I'm talking to now. This should be on the phone. Now I can see you can see me. You know, right. that's cool now. I hadn't heard of a Zoom until March last year either. I didn't heard of Zoom either. Like, what's a Zoom? I never heard of this.
Oh wow.
See, I got little interns who tell me stuff like, okay, what's this? Okay. Thank God for little interns. Thank you, little knucklehead interns I have. Thank y'all for telling me stuff I don't know nothing about. They bring me like, I have no idea. Thank you very much for telling me these things. So thank you for Zoom. So Zoom
I guess
is here.
You can look at it like that.
Yeah. So tell me about your flavors. For the mileage out here, may not be wine into wine connoisseurs the way I am or you are. What's some of your flavors they can just try of yours that will give them a good kick in the butt to give them that egg where it hits them really nice and late at night when they're on a date with their boo thing or whatever they're trying to get done at night, you know, wine down Wednesday, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Wine down Wednesdays for sure. Well, I make different types of wines. I started back in 2018. So I've made about, 20 different kinds of wines, from Pinot Grigio to Moscato, Riesling, Cabernet Sauvignon, Pinot Noir. I mean, the list goes on. Right now, I have a pink strawberry Moscato, which is very, very flavorful. And the great thing about all my wines is that they're actually pretty strong. So you don't need a lot of it to get, to get groovy, to get in a wine peaceful state, So that's the excellent part about it. In December, I will be having a coffee flavored dessert wine, which I'm so, so excited about because everybody loves this wine. That's actually my biggest seller, this wine. It's 18% alcohol volume, which is the highest wine that I do make and the highest type. And I also infuse it with coffee flavors. So it's pretty amazing.
Yes, I don't drink Starbucks. I drink your wine, your coffee wine instead. I don't drink coffee anyway. It doesn't help me out. I've tried coffee and energy drinks. I'm still be sleepy sometimes. Like, I don't help me out none. I'm going to still be hyped up. I've been up since this morning doing interviews. So.
Right. Right. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
But seven different types for different palates and, for everybody, like everything, right now, these are the ones I'm going for. I try to make, one to two every couple of months and, give people some time to, just enjoy whatever wine is out. But if I get a lot of feedback on one specific type of wine, I make it again. Like the coffee flavored dessert wine, I make like clockwork. I make all the time. But some of the other wines, if I don't get as good of feedback on it, I won't make that one again. And that's okay. That's like the learning process of the winemaking. Some consumers are going to love things and some consumers aren't. And that's okay.
Exactly. And for you, where's your typical day they like trying to make some wine? Like, how long does it take to make a wine? It's like 4 hours, 5 hours. Tell me your process, how to make a wine. How long does it take each day before you do it?
Yeah, well, it takes about, so it's broken up into like four different segments.
Oh, wow.
So the first time, the fermentation process takes about 2 hours. So that's the clarifying, the fermentating and adding the yeast and everything like that to the grape juice and the grape skins and everything like that. So that's the fermentation process. And then it has to sit for, I want to say about 4 weeks. And then after the 4 weeks, then it goes to stabilizing. And then another 2 weeks goes to degassing. Then another 2 weeks or two or 3 weeks. It depends on like what it tastes like and, how ready it is, and you'll know what the taste like, if it's ready or not. So gotcha. two to three weeks after degassing it, then you're going to want to bottle it. And of course, sanitize all the bottles and then fill your bottles up, then cork it, then add your own creative label, and boom, there you go.
That's a long process right there.
Yeah, it's about 6 to maybe 16 weeks to make
one good to bottle.
One type. To want make one type.
A one type, okay, one type. Okay.
Yeah, to make one type. So you're gonna get about 30 to 35 bottles out of the one make.
Nice. See, learn some. See, people, that's how she gets these wines to you. Curvy Betty Wines. How'd you call that name? It's an interesting name.
Well, actually, my aunt is named Betty, and she was super, super inspirational to me.
Gotcha.
Such a sweet lady. Always, you know, having family gatherings, brought the family together. Her and my grandmother, for sure. And, you know, every woman in our family is very voluptuous, very curvy. So I had to add that on there as well.
Okay, gotcha. Curvy Betty Wise. I gotcha.
Curvy Betty. Yeah,
it's a catchy name for real. Curvy Betty Wines, yes. You know, CBW, get that today. It's like the commercial for you, right? Yes. There's a commercial for you. Get your Curvy Betty Wines today.
Get your Curvy Betty Wines today.
Hey, the official BBW wine, CBW. Curvy Betty Wines.
CBW for the BBW.
Yes. Official wines of the BBW clan. Which I like those a lot too. You know, so shout out to y'all. me and Drake, the Curvy Women of BBWs, me and Drake got that on live. We good. We in there with y'all.
Yes, absolutely.
It's funny you say that because like I said, for like my show, the JR the Boss Man, I'm a junior. That's why I get to go with JR. I'm a junior. So
they, okay.
They call my dad the Big Boss Man. So I'm the little boss man. So I said, Jared the Boss Man. So there you go. So,
all right. Following the footsteps. Yes.
Yeah. See, my daddy held court at barbershop. There's a barber. So he held court at barbershop. So you know how barbers are. You know, they get in the barbershop. They talking to all their different theories. He holding court, breaking stuff down for folks.
Yes. Right.
That lifestyle was one of a kind growing up around a barbershop. So I can talk the way I can talk now because being on the barbershop. You had to talk to the barbershop. Oh, yeah. Had to.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely a place to, you know, gather and have conversations and talk about last night, last week, and what you guys did yesterday.
and everybody wants to tell you their theory on why Michael Jordan's blood and this person or that person. And yeah, those sports talks. I'm like,
oh yeah, sports talk.
Y'all don't know nothing because I'm in sports now. Y'all don't know what have y'all talking about. I sit back in the ball. I sit back and be like, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
Right.
We cool. You don't know what you're talking about. I ain't gonna argue with your foolish self right now. You foolish boy. You know, but right. It's all good. So let me ask you this. In Athens, Georgia, been up there, how was it? Because I was going to Athens to cover the Georgia games and I leave. How was it actually be up there for 2 years going to school at Georgia? I know it's a party school to a degree. So how has the experience been up there in Athens?
Oh, yeah. It definitely was a lot of partying going on. I really didn't partake in a lot of the partying. I was kind of like a non-traditional student because, like, I'm a little, you know, a bit older. So, you know, I didn't really partake in everything that the younger college students were doing. I hung out a lot with, the grad students and, you know, sometimes we would, like, go for coffee or, you know, for drinks after work or something like that. But that was really about it. Yeah, it's actually pretty quiet other than the college. The college really makes Athens what it is.
That's what I figured when I was there. Yeah. Like, yeah, when I go up 316 to go up there, like, yeah, it's just a... This is a little podunk town when it's this little school.
Yeah, it's the school. The school makes it, you know, booming. So,
see, going to Tennessee State Nashville, I had Fisk or HBCU Web Street in Meharry Medical College. Now, Vanderbilt, I ain't gonna talk about Vanderbilt, they ain't as just preppy people. Then Lipscomb and Belmont, they people wasn't like us. So, being Tennessee State, Fisk and Meharry people are up on same street, we're on same street, like over at Clark Atlanta is same street. All us together,
okay.
Having a good time. So for me, I can come back home on the weekends to Atlanta, 3 hours away.
Okay.
Chill. So yeah, it was fun, man. You know, college was fun, but sometimes going to homecomings, like, damn, I really want to holler at you back in Atlanta. Now I look at you like, I'm good. I'm good. it was a blessing that you told me no back then. I know right. what the future was going to look like. Yeah.
No, so, I'm good. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally good on that. But yes, and also get these wine for Christmas gifts too. Get somebody some wine for Christmas, make it their day. Oh, yeah, they give them. So, say, everybody loves wine, I think. So, it gives
of course. Everybody loves wine.
Get you some wines, Caribbean wines today. Get that done.
Mm-hmm. Especially the holidays. People love their wine for the holidays. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up, Christmas, and all types of stuff. So, yeah, I know I'm going to sell out very quickly.
Yes, check her out today. Lauren, thank you for your time. It was fun to talk to you. And do this again real soon. I want to make sure I spotlight your business on my show because I saw you doing big things. So I reached out to you. I want to give you some spotlight time here on the show so people can come get your wines. And the good thing about it is when I put it on YouTube and on the podcast tip, it's there forever. So you can tell people, this is my interview about my business right here.
Absolutely.
30-minute commercial on the show right now. 30-minute commercial. You got it on the show for free. Folks, see,
That's perfect.
Black helping black people out. See that, people? Paying it forward. See what I'm talking about? Being about it. So, Lauren, thank you for your time as well. Before you go, tell people how to follow you on all these TikToks and Instagrams and Facebooks. Tell them how to follow you so I can scroll on their bio and stuff. You tell them how to follow you, though.
Yes. Well, make sure to follow me on Instagram, curvy_Betty_wines. And I'm also on Facebook as well at Curvy Betty Wines. You can find me on Facebook. And my website is curvybettywines.com. So it's pretty easy. All you have to do is click and place your order.
No doubt, folks. That's Lauren here on the Boss Man Show. Check her out today. We're out.